Good morning, 7:39 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's great to have you with us on a Thursday. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department, or as I like to say, the PIO for PPD, because I'm super fluent with these acronyms these days. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. Let's talk about what just is happening right now, because I want to make sure that we get the best safety information out for people. Dense fog advisory on until 9 a.m. Fog is bad this morning. We've been telling people all morning, be sure to turn your headlights on so that people from behind can see your taillights. Be sure not to have your brights on. I assume this is also dangerous for your officers, too, because if they have people pulled over or if they're on the side of the road, people may not see them until they're very close, right?
Yeah, we encourage people, if they're on the side of the road, to use your flashers as well, which is, puts out a better visual signal than just your running lights on the backside of the car. So, yeah, please be careful. Reach over and turn that dial to on, because a lot of times the daylight running lights will be on, but there's nothing from the back of the car, and there's a lot of that going on this morning.
And I had somebody text me that the automatic setting on their car was that the headlights turn on automatically at night, but not during the day. And so they, you know, that's also another situation where, you know, they've like forgotten to think about their headlights basically. And so you have to, you know, really do something manually to make it work, you know, more effectively, particularly because of the taillights. You want to be able to see the taillights in front of you. Also just a fact note, I don't think it's particularly relevant in this circumstance, but it is legal now in the state of Florida to drive with your flashers on. That was changed several years ago. It's not only for when you're on the side of the road, right, Mike?
Yes, it is legal to do that. It can get confusing. People might think that you're stranded. But again, when the flashers are on, especially on a day like today, you're going to be able to see that a lot quicker than you are the running lights if your headlights are on from the rear. So, yes, that is legal to do now.
Absolutely. Following up on the story that you told us about previously, this horrendous homicide inside of a building on Davis Highway, but you now have somebody in custody. Is that right?
Yeah, we do. Investigators worked around the clock on this and took somebody into custody very quickly. He was arrested on Pace Boulevard by one of our canine officers. And, you know, the further they dug into this, they figured out that he'd been in there before. He'd been convicted of a burglary in there before, entered the building the same way that he did this time. But he got away with some merchandise last time. This time he committed the burglary. He finished it. He was able to leave, and we know this. He was able to leave without hurting anyone, but he chose not to. He chose to stay there and kill Mr. Chambers. Now, Mr. Chambers never saw this attack coming. There was no reason to do this. He could have left and gotten away with this burglary, but he chose to do otherwise.
And I thought I saw that it wasn't just burglary from previously, that there was something even worse in his past, but am I wrong, mistaken about that?
He's been arrested before. I believe it was a county case where he did use a machete.
That's the one I thought I had
on
seen.
Someone.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't have the particulars of that case, but he's no stranger to violence.
Okay, well, I'm glad he's in custody now. We also had a pedestrian fatality at College and Airport, right? I think maybe last Wednesday.
Yeah, it was Airport Parkway, and, you know, we've got way too many of these. One is too many, but we've had just so many fatalities in the city recently, and this, again, is another one, and this is simply where the pedestrian crossed against the light, was using the crosswalk, but crossed against the light. It was red for the pedestrian and was struck and killed.
Man, okay, so, you know, I don't know, just a reminder to pay attention, reminder to follow the law. I don't know, the thing that I taught my boys over and over and over again when I was teaching them how to drive was regardless of what the law says, pay attention and avoid hurting people, you know, because, you know, it's better to avoid a problem, you know, than it is to be right and have a problem have happened, right? You just always be watching. And, you know, in Florida, it's a little bit, it can be hard to remember the rules, but you have the right to walk across the street. You can jaywalk in Florida legally. That doesn't mean it's a good idea. And you can be protected in a crosswalk. That doesn't mean it's a good idea. Just all these rules and, you know, always be safe and be aware, right?
Yeah, sometimes people get it confused. Like downtown, there's not a light at every crosswalk, so people will just, you know, the pedestrian does have the right-of-way, but that doesn't mean that you can just walk across that crosswalk and hope that the car that's approaching is going to stop. You need to make contact, eye contact with the driver of that vehicle and make sure that they're going to stop. And then when it does have a light, you need to use that light. You do not have priority at that crosswalk when the light is red for the pedestrian. You've got to wait till it turns green.
Absolutely. We also had, I think, we had a lot more data on the red light cameras, which we talked about extensively with the mayor yesterday. But you've had the first grouping of people actually protesting their automated red light tickets, right?
Yeah, that was this week. We had five people that indicated they wanted a hearing, but only one of them showed up. So, and that person was protesting the placement of the signage that there was cameras at that intersection, not necessarily whether he committed the violation or not, but it was the signage. And the officers presented information from DOT that the signage was legal. It was exactly what it was supposed to be, and the individual ended up having to pay that fine.
So he thought rather than trying to protest the fact that he ran the red light, he would protest the compliance of the camera warning signs. And since those were installed properly, tough luck, son.
Yeah, I wasn't in the room, but I think that was the gist of it.
Okay, all right. Well, out of 23,000, what was the 28,000? I forget the number now. I think maybe 28,000 tickets so far. We've had five people indicate they want to protest. One person tried and failed, and the other four did not show up. Is it a big time drain for you guys? Has it been an issue? Because obviously you guys put your eyes on every single one of these. Is this stressing personnel at all?
Yeah. I mean, in fact, they brought on three more this week to help look at those videos, including myself. It takes a lot of time to do that. But what takes up more time is answering the phone calls. There are a lot of phone calls coming into our traffic division that are keeping officers in the office. Answering those phone calls, people want to know, you know, how to protest it and how to pay it and where to pay it and things like that. There's a lot of questions to be asked. So we're working on that a couple of different ways to hopefully automate that and make things go smoother.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought about that. But if a lot more people are calling PPD, then somebody's got to answer those phones. That makes perfect sense. You know, Mike, on the fog, another question had come in, and I don't know the answer to this, but I'm curious. Somebody had made the comment that, you know, Andrew, you think it's bad driving in a car. Imagine what it's like driving in an ambulance with all of the lights on and flashing and all that stuff bouncing back at you off of the fog. Is that an issue for when you guys are running with lights on and you're trying to chase at speed and you've got something like fog that you're dealing with? Does having the lights on make it harder to drive through like the fog?
Well, first of all, we're never going to chase in a condition like that. So the answer to that is no. But your question,
but you still might alert, right? You still might respond with lights on to go to a call, right?
Yes. Yes, we will. Yes, obviously we'll do that. We're just going to have to cut the speedway down. But there is reflection coming back on the officer with the fog. So that's something that we don't have to deal with a lot. But like you said, today's one of those days.
Yeah, and I'm guessing going through intersections much more cautiously, precisely because of, you know, this problem, right?
Yes, we're gonna respond. We're just going to have to go a bit slower because we're not doing anybody any good if we never make it there.
Right. Old Baptist in the news for a lot of different reasons, but also apparently now in the news because people are breaking in. Is that right? Just like that, like they break in at Wahoo's, even though that's an in-use facility. Old Baptist is an abandoned facility, but people are breaking in there?
Yeah, and I was going to compare it to the Wahoo's. The Baptist and Wahoo's are two places you don't really want to break into because getting caught is very high. The chances are very high. It happened again this week. There were a few juveniles that were in there that we were made aware of, and officers came over that area. They established a perimeter and took them into custody.
Again, this is not the first time?
No, it's not the first time.
Huh. What are they doing? Are they just misbehaving kids? Are they trying to vandalize, graffiti, hang out, get high? What are they trying to do? Do you know?
Well, I guess sometimes you could call it an attractive nuisance. There's a lot of abandoned buildings there, and when you're young like that, you know, why not? Let's go check it out. There's nobody in there. What could go wrong? Kind of situation. We don't know that they're going in there to just specifically steal or anything. But again, the younger you are when you see things like that, then it can become attractive to them, and they want to go inside and check it out. And sometimes if they're in there to steal wire and things like that. I don't know exactly what the situation was with this particular burglary. All I do know is that you can't go in there. I mean, even though it's abandoned and nobody there, you still can't go in there and burglarize it.
I'm just grateful that you and I, when we were kids, never did anything dumb or stupid or wrong, or at least we didn't get caught. that's what I'm grateful for. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me this week?
Yes, and so this one came from actually two sources, Beverly Hills Cop and Better Call Saul. And this is where narcotics traffickers will put cocaine in boxes and crates and surround it with coffee grounds, and that's going to throw the dogs off. That's totally not true. So if you to break it down about how a dog's nose works versus a human's nose, let's take a bowl of soup. If you took a bowl of soup and you smelled it, you smell soup. But the dog is much different than that. The dog will smell the carrots, the chicken, the broth, and the celery individually. So when you try to put the cocaine or whatever else inside coffee grounds, the dog is still going to be able to detect that narcotic.
What was the – I'm trying to remember what the number was, but it was something like 30,000 times more sensitive than your nose, you know, to the point where they can track somebody who ran across concrete because of the – you know, the little bit of residue that might be left or the aroma that might be left even in the concrete, not on dirt, not on grass, but across concrete. And even they can tell the difference between they were running or they were walking, like that level of sophistication. So a little bit of coffee isn't going to throw them off the scent, right?
No, not at all.
And they don't even drink coffee. Or do they? Are they the only cops that don't drink coffee?
I'll have to let a canine handle answer that question for you. That's you know, I'm gonna stay in my lane on that one.
Now I'm thinking if they like lattes, if they do cream and sugar, if they drink it black. My brain goes in all the wrong directions. Mike Wood, he's the PIO for the what's that?
They're wired pretty tight anyway. They don't really need any caffeine. So, and if you've ever experienced or seen a canine demonstration, that's something that they just don't need. It's built in.
They don't need the rock star. They are the rock star. They don't need the energy drink, that's for sure. Mike Wood, he is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for the time, keeping us informed, keeping us safe. I appreciate the work, sir.
Thank you.